Hey everybody, this is Jake Gibson of the Shula Bowl podcast. I'd like to welcome you to episode 122 of the Shula Bowl pod. It's going to be a fun episode. As I'm sure all of the FIU and FAU faithful are already aware, media days have passed for both Conference USA and the American, and we're getting right into fall camps for both the Panthers and the Owls. That's going to be what this episode is all about, as you're going to see from both Kevin Baral for FIU and Kevin Fielder for FAU. I sat down with both of them and talked about both the media days and the fall camps. It's going to be Baral first, then Fielder second, and that's going to be the format for the majority of these episodes of the Shula Bowl pod before we get into the actual week of the Shula Bowl. It's going to be some fun stuff, but I hope you're ready to enjoy what I think was an absolutely awesome episode of the Shula Bowl pod, and we're going to start from the FIU side of things with Kevin Baral. And welcome everybody to the Shula Bowl podcast. I am Jay Gibson alongside our FIU beat, Kevin Baral. Now, Kevin, we're coming off of two big things, Media Day, which was fun, and of course, fall camps, which are still ongoing. So I think let's just jump right into this discussion here, Kev. I have a two-parter question for you. Number one, is Kyle Stowers the greatest baseball player to ever exist? And number two, what were your biggest takeaways from CUSA Media Day from head coach Willie Simmons?
Yes, and biggest takeaways from CUSA Media Days. I think there's a lot of love, from my understanding, for Willie. Everyone thinks the hire was awesome. I also think that many are big fans of Simmons himself. People are big on high on Kiwon, high on Brian Blades. I think the biggest thing too that came out, which I'm not too surprised by, is that Brian Blades had a lot more interest in the transfer portal than Kiwon Jenkins did. And a lot of teams were willing to offer Brian Blades a lot more money than for Lights Out. And rightfully so. Brian Blades was one of the top rated corners, not just in Conference USA, but in the Group of Five. And I think he'll be a name that a lot of people look at for the NFL draft come 2026. So I'm curious to see what that looks like. And I think that was the biggest takeaway. Nothing really too crazy. Jake, you were in there. Nothing too crazy on that end. Just a lot of the usual stuff. So I'm looking forward to the season, you know. And I was going to start with this. So I'll end this question with it. But, you know, scrimmage one was on Saturday. And right next to it was the soccer exhibition game. And when you just hear testing 1-2-3, 1-2-3 from the PA guy, you know we're back. You know, you're no preparations are being made. You're hearing the sound of an FIU goal. And you're also hearing the sounds of pads slamming against each other. So I am very excited. And we are literally 2 weeks away from soccer season getting going, which we'll talk about also on the podcast. And we're 3 weeks away from FIU versus Bethune-Cookman, which I'm pumped.
Definitely pumped about that. College football all around. FAU getting ready to take on Maryland as well to kick off their season. Kevin, one of the things that Willie Simmons talked about during Media Day was the offensive line having some of the biggest battles for a starting spot remaining on this roster. Definitely one of the most must-watch parts of this roster overall. Aside from the O-line, what are some of the other positions on this team that you think are going to have some of the best battles for a starting spot come week one?
Yeah, and right now, I mean, the offensive line probably shaping up from left to right as Jaleel Davis, Jaheim Buchanan, Julius Pierce as the center, Antonio Tripp, and Daniel Michelle. Those have been the five out there throughout fall. And second team is looking a little shaky. That includes the two new transfers, Miguel Sedano and Zaire Flournoy, along with a couple other returners. But overall, I think that O-line, that first team O-line looks pretty great so far, and we'll talk about that on the scrimmage side. But I think safety is one to look at. I mean, Jake, you know this. Like JoJo Evans, CJ Christian, JoJo Evans to Louisville, CJ Christian to Washington. Depth is fine at that position, but it wasn't great. And that's where Willie went into the portal and addressed it. He brought in Demetrius Hill from Illinois, brought in Websley Etienne from Arkansas State, and you saw the returners of Bobby Sala Jr., Antonio Patterson, Shamir Sterling. Like, you've got certain guys. I'm interested. You know, like, one that's really stood out to me on the safety side is Josiah McGrew. He's a freshman. Like, long dude, has like a long build and has been making a lot of plays. He's been running with the first team quite a bit, actually. And, you know, in my interview with Willie, the intention is, you know, we want freshmen to stand out, but we also don't – if they're freshmen that are starting and playing, that means that our depth that we brought in through the portal and, you know, returning players wasn't good enough. So I don't know where he stands on that right now, but Josiah McGrew is someone who could definitely make a name and continue to play. And we're almost – we're 2 weeks in going into week three. Yeah. So by this point, you're going to start seeing a lot more ones and twos instead of threes and fours. And I'm going to be interested to see if someone like McGrew is among the ones and the twos in practice. And,
yeah.
I mean, Demetrius, unfortunately, has just been hit by the injury bug continuously. Only given Illinois was not in, was in street clothes for the first scrimmage. Websley Tien has been fine. I haven't been able to see too much from him, but he's been good. And obviously, McGrew has been the biggest standout. Shamir Sterling has been another guy who's really stood out to me. Him and McGrew, really good. Those guys have been running it a lot with the ones. So I'm curious to see if that continues to be the case. Bobby Sala Jr. is kind of like a gadget type player. Like I've seen him work with the corners, seen him work with the safeties. So I'm curious to see what that looks like. But I think right now you're looking at a rotation of Websley Etienne, Shamir Sterling, Antonio Patterson, and Josiah McGrew. So and Demetrius, I think I mentioned him, but Demetrius Hill too. So we'll see how that looks. But I think that's one position to look at. Other one is wide receiver with the recent, obviously, news of Juju Lewis, the Georgia Tech transfer from last year, who went down, went down after four games, tore his ACL, went down in the second practice of the spring, was not good, did not look good at the time. My what I heard was that it was a torn, you know, it wasn't good. And thankfully, it's just a tweak to the other knee, not the one he tore his ACL. So he will probably be out for quite a bit. We'll miss the first couple games of the season. So we'll see if he's back maybe for UConn or right at the beginning of second game of conference play, because the UConn game happens right during conference play, which we're scheduling, but whatever. So I'm looking at like Eric Nelson Jr., looking at Kyle McNeil, a name that's really stood out to me and I think continues to stand out is Tavarish Dawson, the Jacksonville State transfer, who CUSA fans are probably pretty familiar with, but more or less actually college football fans are familiar with because he was on Colorado's team and he scored a touchdown early on. Was at Auburn for a couple of years. So a really fast guy who Willie said could really look to take over that Eric Rivers role that we saw last year. Even 2 years ago, Eric Rivers was a fast player for both years here at FIU. So I'm curious to see what that a wide receiver role really looks like. And the last one I'll note is the running back, because AJ Allen, who was a University of Miami transfer, transfers to Tulsa right after a couple of days after the spring game. So they bring in Anthony Carey, who's a Georgia Tech transfer, and he looked really good so far, looked good in the first scrimmage, running with the first team. They're really dividing the playing time pretty equally between KJ Owens, Carey, and Devontae Lyons. Lyons made a really nice, you know, looked really nice in that first scrimmage. Yes. Yeah. We'll see how they split the time between those three backs. Plus, Juice Sterling, Joseph Sterling, who is the brother of Flex Joseph, former FIU Panther, has looked awesome. Like he's an energy boost to the offense. So I'm curious to see if he'll play. He has four games to do it, just like every true freshman. So he can keep the red shirt year or burn the red shirt in that case, whatever it may be. So yeah, we'll see what happens. But so far, so good with spring and just some certain position battles that I personally am looking at.
Let's talk a bit about Kiwon. It feels almost impossible to not bring up lights when talking about this Panthers squad, but that's how vital he is to the success of this team. Based on what we've seen in the camps, I mean, what aspects of his game do you think he still needs to work on? But what aspects of the game do you think he has genuinely improved upon? And that backup quarterback position is still pretty much up for grabs, I would say, for the Panthers. Who's winning that in your eyes?
I'll start with the backup quarterback situation because it's going to be Joe Pazanski, the Holy Cross transfer, came in with a full season of games played, starting for them. He was a captain on that team. You know, you look at it, you're like, man, why this guy coming to FIU? Like, you'll take it, clearly, but why, you know? And they needed a leader in that quarterback room, or at least an older presence, someone older than Kiwon, someone that would challenge Kiwon. Not to say that Clayton Dees isn't going to challenge Kiwon, but you need someone that, you know, Kiwon is going to say, oh, crap, like this guy has played college football. He's got the experience. He's got a good arm. I need someone who's going to go out there and challenge me, you know, for an actual starting job. Not that Clayton can't do it. He can't. He's a young guy. He's still got it. Redshirt freshman. He's good. He's a really good player. I think he is. I think he'd be really good. So I think it'll be Joe. Joe Pazanski is going to be the backup quarterback. Clayton, number three, we'll see. We'll see if it's Clayton or freshman Christian Langford, who looked awesome, by the way, in that first scrimmage. He only got a couple drives, but he looked great. Keywon, I think the decision-making still needs to be a bit better. And he made certain throws that got thrown off, but at the same time, you know, just bad decisions. And I think he still needs to improve it. It's gotten a lot better compared to last season, just like the FAU game last year. Like, it was not good. FAU game, first drive of the Sam Houston, first play of the Sam Houston game, a lot of stuff that went wrong there. So
yeah.
I'm looking at those certain moments and how has he grown from those throughout the scrimmages, throughout drives, 11 on 11s, whatever it may be. And it's gotten a lot better. He made a great play to Alex Perry, maybe second or third drive of for the offense in the scrimmage. It looked great. And the decision-making was better. I think he's the one who connected with Eric Nelson Jr. I'd have to look back for the touchdown. But it was the decision-making is a lot better. I would actually want to see it from a higher view. So we'll see what that looks like when we go to Miramar for the second scrimmage. But overall, he's looked good. Like, the arm strength is there. He's gotten a little bit faster. He's moving a lot better. Clearly, this offense is catered towards him. So I think the decision-making still needs to improve. But overall, I'm liking what I'm seeing from Lights and the rest of the offense.
It's going to be tough for freshmen, either true freshmen or redshirts, to come in and get immediate playing time for this Panthers squad. But if you could highlight some of the freshmen that have already come in and have impressed the coaches thus far and might get maybe some playing time, whether it be in a blowout win against Bethune, a blowout loss against Penn State, regardless of what the case may be, who are some of the freshmen you're most excited to actually see their potential for this FIU team?
Yeah, Josiah McGrew. I think this is a guy who really wasn't spoken of as in the signing class. It's just a guy you kind of gloss over. But when you look at the build, when you look at what he's done, when you look at what he can do, where he could line up, could really be using a lot of runs packages, run stopping packages, kind of like what they did with JoJo Evans. If you put on a couple more pounds on that guy, like, he can be good. So I like him. Jackson Verdugo, the tight end, he's gonna play. I think that's the full intention. Spoke to tight ends coach Frank Ponce, and he did mention there will be a rotation of four guys. Those four guys are gonna be Dallas Payne, the UAB transfer, Justin Cayenne, the UPenn transfer, freshman Jackson Verdugo, and Braden Satan, who is the lone returner of the room. So it'll be those four guys kind of rotating it, and they're using two tight end packages. They're using the tight end a lot, going right down the middle of the field, get open, using them as an extra blocker, more in run blocking packages, which under David Yost, we know that they did that a lot.
They certainly did.
The staff was not a big fan of tight end usage for some reason. We're seeing it a lot more now. So I think Jackson Verdugo is a guy who's going to get in there. And when I asked Willie during the offseason, who's a guy who you could see playing as a freshman, Jackson Verdugo was the name. Then there's receivers. Kenny Williams made the best play of the day in that scrimmage.
Yeah.
He made a one-handed snag that looked awesome. In coverage, deep coverage. Great throw by Joe Pazanski there. Joe Pazanski looked pretty good in the scrimmage. But Kenny Williams, Amari Isaac, I've been told, probably has the best hands on the team. So I'm curious to see if he plays. He's a bigger dude. Was the best, in my opinion, second or best offensive signing of the class, 2025 class. And defensively, I've heard a lot of good things about Cam Davis, who really didn't play a lot of football. It was more of a basketball background. But I've liked what I've seen there from him. And I think there's a lot of room for improvement with these freshmen. I don't think all of them will play. Oh, yeah. Sterling Joseph. He's good. He's very good. Very fast, very good. Hopefully we get to see him at some point. If by that point the season's lost, you're hoping last four games of the year, you go out there and run out your freshmen, see what's up. Christian Langford probably won't play this year. I wouldn't be shocked if he's used maybe in some run packages, which would be pretty cool. He's a really fast guy. He's the fastest quarterback in that group. So we'll see what happens then. But, yes, I like what I've seen so far from the freshmen. And Willie said he's going to play the freshmen early on. He's going to play them a lot, going to give them some run. But once we're going to the final couple of weeks for final practices, we're going to start seeing who we're going to see on August 29th at 7 p.m. against Bethune-Cookman. And that's when we'll really be defining which freshman. I think scrimmage two is going to be huge. As big as scrimmage one was, because we did not see the third or fourth team go out there too much until the very, very end of the scrimmage. Yeah. Scrimmage two is going to be huge. So I'm curious to see what that looks like.
What's the biggest weakness on this team by position? Could it be some unproven offensive lineman? Could it be some aspect of the defense we're unsure about? Could it be the special? Could it be the kickers? I mean, it's still all up for debate. What's the biggest weakness? I mean, you have FAU. You have to definitely have to look at some parts of their defense. Edge rushers kind of stand out. But what would be that equivalent for the Panthers?
I got to go O-line. As good as they've looked, you also got to tell yourself, you're playing your own team. You're playing your own teammates who you know very well. You would hope you do.
Yeah.
It's not much the first team O-line. It's much the depth that follows the first team O-line. That's where I'm a little bit, you know, iffy on what will that look like. Because so far, it hasn't been great. Joe Pisanski hasn't had a lot of time to make a lot of decisions. He's been having to scramble out a lot. And so has Kiwan. So not giving them enough time. And you got to remember, you're rolling out four starters on that O-line that were not there last season. It'll be four out of the five O-linemen will be new. Jaheim Buchanan is the only returner amongst the starting O-line group, the first-team O-line. So I'm curious to see what that looks like. And that's really my only position of concern. Maybe the cornerback that is next to Brian Blades. Ashton Levels didn't look great the other day at the scrimmage. You know, Jivion G7, I'm going to call him. You could pop the name up on the screen, what his name is. I'm not sure. He's looked fine. He's actually been a lot better than what I saw during the spring. During the spring, it wasn't very encouraging. I think a lot more encouraged after what I saw in the spring and the fall, I'm sorry. So he'll be someone who I think gets a lot of run. But that cornerback room is deep, probably the deepest room on the defense.
Yeah.
But still a lot of questions. It's a very young group. So aside from Brian Blades, Levels coming back from the injury, G7, not a lot of run at Arizona. Victor Evans was good, but we didn't see a lot of Victor Evans last year. And they're losing Hezekiah Masses, who goes to Cal. And if it was Hezekiah Masses and Brian Blades, like, you know, a very polished group like that, that'd be fun. Safety, like, that's another weakness. Like, I haven't been very impressed, aside from McGrew and Sterling from that group. It's been a little concerning. But I think, again, and I'll tell you this, and I think we can all admit it, like, the offense won, scrimmage won, by far. Defense did not look great. There are some moments. But I'm confident that throughout, give it a week or two, and it'll look a little bit different.
Yeah. So, yeah, I definitely agree with the O-line. However, there is still a lot of potential there. It feels good to really only have one major concern on one position instead of maybe some years past where the whole team was a blank slate. But we do have a lot of great returners here. And we mentioned Kiwan already, but sometimes a quarterback's best friend is a deadly running back. Just ask Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley. And this running back room, Kevin, is it the most you mentioned the secondary having a lot of depth, but the depth that the running back room has as well, it's kind of scary. We've seen in seasons past where the wide receivers tend to outshine the running backs for FIU. And I think that's really is a nice compliment to Kiwan. But do you think there's a chance this season that the running backs will outshine the receivers for the Panthers?
It's a good question, and we said this to ourselves last year when we're on the Positive Podcast. We're previewing Indiana. We got Lexington Joseph, Shamar Lawrence, Keyshawn Owens. You had a three-headed monster, three guys who could start at the Group of Five level, maybe even Power Conference level. Mm-hmm. And now we're going into this season telling ourselves, Keyshawn Owens, Anthony Carey, Devontae Lyons, Sterling Joseph?
Perhaps.
Nate Henry? Jose Corbo, Jordan Clemens, plus whatever you've got coming in next year. That's the deepest room overall. But a lot of it has to go with the O-line. FIU struggled to run the ball. I believe they had one of the worst rushing offenses in Conference USA. And that's not what you want to hear. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, last year in Conference USA, FIU has struggled to run the ball. And it was very, very disappointing the way that it ended up working out. Because not everyone played. But FIU last year had the ranked sixth in rushing offense, averaging 120 yards a game, which isn't terrible. But when you have Liberty, who's averaging 251, Jack State, who will continue to probably do this, averaging 251, 180 for New Mexico State, 179 rushing yards for Sam Houston. I was a little surprised seeing UTEP ahead of FIU, but not by much, literally by by two decimals. So
okay,
FIU kind of in the middle of the pack in CUSA in rushing offense. Delaware coming with a pretty good running back. Missouri State brings Shamari Lawrence, former FIU running back, to the fold, and he's going to be getting a lot of run. So I'm curious to see what that'll look like. I don't want to set my expectations too high because I think we all did that last season, assuming FIU is going to ground, is going to pound the ball a lot, ground and pound. Didn't work. Had to go to Eric Rivers, had to go to Dean Patterson, and here and there try to run the ball. Hopefully the play calling is better too. The play calling wasn't the best last year. So I think that was a big impact too. I mean, a lot of third downs that you're looking at third and 12, third and long, and you're running the ball. And that doesn't help. So I'm curious to see what that does. But at the same time, the O-line has to improve. They protected Q1, least amount of sacks allowed in CUSA, but unfortunately just wasn't the most rushing yards in CUSA or top three.
Okay. That definitely we'll check out more of the story. The O-line is going to pay dividends for this offense, which, I mean, what offense is that not the case for? So we'll definitely keep that going as we get closer and closer to the week one against Bethune-Cookman. I think we'll wrap it up here, Kevin, as we continue on the Shula Bowl podcast as we get ready to hear from Kevin Fielder of the FAU side of the Shula Bowl pod and hear what's going on in the world of the Owls.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
And welcome to the FAU segment of the Shula Bowl podcast. I am Jay Gibson, joining alongside our FAU beat, Kevin Fielder. Kevin, how are you doing, my man? I know you are in the middle of moving back to SoFlo. Talk about how excited you are to get back down here.
Hey, I'm excited to. I can't believe I'm saying this out loud because it sounds so blasphemous to say it, but it is probably warmer or cooler in South Florida than it is here.
Is that
last
right?
Few days it has been 100 degrees every day with no humidity. It's just the worst, I will genuinely say, the worst weather I have lived in outside of like the week I spent in Vegas, where I just can't compare anything to Vegas because that is just inhumane, the things they do there in terms of weather. But yeah, I mean, excited to actually talk about some football because it feels like last time we were just kind of like bullcrapping our way through conversation because we didn't really know a lot. Now,
yeah,
a couple weeks into fall camp, we probably know a little bit more.
Yeah, we certainly do. And but before we get into that, obviously, the Owls were a part of the not the American Athletic Conference, just the American. It's Media Day. So, Kevin, I wanted to ask you about some of the people you heard from with the FAU. Owls, of course, we were able to hear from their head coach alongside a few players, Zach Kittley, and I can't remember off the top of my head the offensive and defensive guys that made
defensive tackle.
Is that right? Okay, so you've heard from a few guys. Talk about some of the main takeaways in your opinion.
Well, the most important thing is the American now has a mascot, and it feels like we can't begin with anything else other than Soar is the coolest mascot in college football.
Is right that now.
I love him. I think that's awesome. Outside of that, a lot of the talk around Media Day structured around the offense, and I guess rightfully so, given that Zach Kittley comes in, he's an offensive mind. He'll be the offensive coordinator. He'll be the play caller. You know, Caden Veldkamp, their quarterback, comes from West Kentucky, obviously has some experience in this offense. And there's something he mentioned that was so interesting to me. He said that the offense is the same thing that he ran his freshman year with Ben Arbuckle, who's now the offensive coordinator at Oklahoma. And so I think the biggest question mark was how much things would change in terms of what Veldkamp knew from his time at West Kentucky, where they ran a very similar air raid offense with some changes, and what he'd be running now in Boca. And if that's the case, and it is effectively the same offense, which makes sense, I think there's a chance that this offense just hits the ground running because the big focus for this offense that Kittley told the media, that Kittley's been talking about a lot, is that the ball is effectively meant to be in Veltkamp's hands. He's effectively the playmaker. He's the pass first point guard, if we're equating this to basketball. He's the Andre Miller of this offense, which anytime I can drop Andre Miller in a podcast, I will drop Andre Miller in a podcast. But I think that there's a real chance that this offense can just hit the ground running week one against Maryland, which, given some of the struggles they've had over the last few years in terms of starting fast, in terms of playing at that sort of pace that you'd expect an offense to play at, is a very encouraging sign. And it's one that I think every FAU fan will be incredibly excited to hear about, because truthfully, it's been a while since they've had an offense that just starts the year off fast. It's probably been dang near since the beginning of the Willie Taggart era and the end of the Lane Kiffin era where I felt comfortable in saying an offense will start fast for FAU, which, man, I will take that. I will take an offense that just starts fast. Yeah. It doesn't have to go through every single roadblock, because it's been a while.
So you mentioned Langston and that FAU defense. That was one part of the equation. You've already gassed up the offense. Great to see, but now I'm interested to see what this FAU defense brings to the table. What did you take away from that? Was there any talk about that during media day and all things considered? What's the excitement level there?
Yeah, I mean, during media day, Kitley mentioned a few guys on defense who have impressed, and one of the big ones was linebacker transfer from Minnesota. I think it's Zach Stolke, who is a very impressive sort of player. I think he's a guy who played a little bit at Minnesota, was able to impact the game at Minnesota. But there's always the issue or the concern that he's just not going to translate over to the American, which plays a very different brand of football to – the Big Ten. It's a little bit more spread out in the American. It's a little more air raidy. It's a little more pass heavy than what I think you see in the Big Ten, where a lot of teams will go to tight ends. They'll sort of condense a lot of their sets. So it's going to be interesting to see if that's something that can sort of translate over for Tyler Solsky, the transfer. Another name that he mentioned was defensive lineman CJ DeGette, how I think you pronounce the last name. This will be a common theme throughout every episode. I will forget how to pronounce a name. But CJ DeGette is an Ohio transfer, another big fella inside. And I love big fellas inside who can just play like that, who can play physical, who can take on double teams, who can play at that kind of pace. I think him and defensive tackle Bryce Langston, who appears to be a team captain, who will likely be a team captain, who's a returning player, I think you have the setup of a solid base 2-3-3-5 defense, which you'll see new defensive coordinator Brett Dewhurst run. I think between those two guys, Tyler Skolsky in the linebacker room, you have a solid front seven. The biggest question mark is, what does the rest of this defense look like? Because you are effectively replacing 95% of your starters from last year, and you're having to replace them on the fly. And again, I think the media, they just don't get enough access to really be able to gauge who's starting where. And, you know, this is a defense that's going to have to play to some level to be reliable, because I think every FAU fan feels comfortable in saying that the offense will look good this year. Yeah. We all feel comfortable in saying the offense will have some level of production. You can only win so many games with a good offense. You need a good defense. Exactly. You need a reliable defense, especially in the American. There's question marks, and it's something that Kitley mentioned during fall camp. Was he said there's a ton of position battles that have to get figured out, and there's a ton of players competing for starting spots. I think he mentioned about 6 or 7 guys competing for a starting edge spot. Another probably 8 or 9 competing for a defensive back room that is a giant question mark across the board. With so many question marks, just the biggest question is, you know, who's starting where?
Yeah.
And how can the defense hit the ground running? Because the offense can hit the ground running. I have no doubts about that. Is there a learning curve for the defense? And you don't get a very easy first game to start learning things. Yeah. Maryland might be one of the worst teams in the Big Ten. They're still a very talented football team. This is not the FCS opponent that you paid $750,000 to go beat the crap out of. And so it's going to be interesting to see what this looks like for defense, especially because there's so many question marks that none of us can answer. There's not I can't wave a crystal ball and find all the answers as to what this defense looks like. And so it's going to be interesting to see what week one looks like in a few weeks, because There's a chance it just doesn't hit the ground running and it takes 2 or 3 weeks. There's also a chance that everything just sort of gels. You have a good defensive coordinator in Brett Dewhurst, who, again, is kind of unproven himself. And so, I think I said it on the first episode, right? It's just a giant question mark. It's a giant, like, put it in Sharpie. If you're, like, trying to predict the two-deep depth chart, put a question mark or put it or at, like, every position except maybe 2 or 3. And you have probably a really good chance of predicting who started.
All those questions you said that are going to be brought up, well, we will get some answers during FAU's fall camps, which, of course, are currently ongoing. So, Kevin, let's change the topic from that for Media Day to these fall camps. Obviously, they've hit the ground running over there in Boca. And there's, like you mentioned, a lot of spots, I think, on both sides of the ball that need to be filled. One position I wanted to ask you about are some of the weapons that Veldkamp is going to have at his disposal. Who are some of the guys that have impressed you and that have impressed the coaching staff so far for the Owls during these camps?
Easy first name to mention is Western Kentucky transfer Easton Messer, who is
That's a good pick.
A really good friend of Caden Veldkamp. They're effectively best friends. And he was Veldkamp's favorite target at Western Kentucky. I have no doubts he will probably be his favorite target at FAU as well. Which helps, I think, to have at least one proven weapon. The running back room is the phrase that has been mentioned by Zach Kittley almost every single press conference when he's asked about it is it's a committee. It's a running back by committee. They feel comfortable with three guys, and that's Jamari Sands, Xavier Terrell, and then Caden Shields-Dunn. They feel comfortable with all three. Shields-Dunn is unproven. He really has not gotten a lot of work in his college career. But Terrell and Sands got work at the end of last year. They both impressed. They're both really athletic running backs. You have a lot of speed on this offense. You have a lot of guys who are going to be athletic weapons on the offense, which I think will help them in general. But I think also if you think about it, I mean, you probably need different flavors in that room. There's only so many guys who could play in a certain way. And so I am a little bit concerned to think about some of the different flavors. One name who I think has been mentioned a few times as especially as a, a deep threat is Caleb Brown, a wide receiver transfer from Nicholls State, who is big, he's strong, he's a red zone threat. There's a good chance he has probably 3 or 4 touchdowns in the red zone this year alone. And if that's the case, that's something they also have not had for a while. And so if you could get that in this offense, I think you're a little bit more encouraged about where things stand. One other name that bears mentioning because he has impressed throughout camp and he's another athletic player who could find a role is Colorado transfer Asad Wasim, who, again, was sort of an under-the-radar acquisition. I think he got a little bit of praise when he first transferred over, but ever since then, it just has sort of been Easton Messer, Caden Veldkamp, the running backs, other guys. And he's been a part of that other guys sort of list. But he's impressed, and I think that there is certainly a chance that he carves out a role. I think that there's a very good chance that they go 4 or 5 deep at wide receiver, or they go 6 deep at wide receiver, and they just sort of start rotating guys throughout because they have a lot of guys that they like. They have a lot of guys who are fighting for a spot. And in an air raid offense, you got to keep guys healthy. You got to keep guys active. And so I think there is certainly a chance that they keep 4 or 5 guys in there who are just consistently playing at a high level. And I think that guys like Quincy Brown, guys like Wasim, Jabari Smith, who is a new is a returner, one of the few returners on this offense, frankly, who impressed a lot at the end of last year. I think had a few really impressive catches, showcased some of that athleticism. And Messer, you have wide receivers that Veldkamp can go to. It's just finding the right combination. And that's still the biggest question mark throughout, I think, a lot of this team is just what is the right combination to make things work week one?
Definitely, for sure. Well, you've mentioned some transfers and you've mentioned some of the older guys that can definitely make an impact on this squad. But I'm interested to see the youth of this FAU talent and maybe some players, some freshmen, true freshmen, redshirt freshmen that may or may not have a potential to get some starting spots for this Owls. If any, I'm interested, do they have any freshmen that have kind of blown away the coaches thus far?
I mean, I think a lot of them are just learning, you know, just putting their mouth in front of a water hose and getting all the water that they could take in. I think that there is a lot that has to happen for true freshmen to really impress. And so are there any that are going to start week one? I highly doubt it. Are there guys who can impress on special teams and sort of carve roles throughout camp, you know, the beginning of the season, and maybe they look like a piece at the end of the year? I think that's certainly possible. But I couldn't truthfully put a name on to as to any who are like ready to compete. And I think you will see, especially in some of those early non-conference games, you're going to see FAU use that four-game redshirt rule to their advantage. If you can redshirt a guy after four games, that allows you an opportunity to see what they really look like in games. When you play an FCS opponent, if you're in a game where, you know, hopefully you're up big or potentially down big, right? Like, those are opportunities where guys can get actual game experience, game reps. And so right now, is there anyone who's standing out as like a true freshman who's like ready to compete? Probably not. I will just caution, like, you got to slow your brakes down on any of that in modern day college football. Midseason, would not shock me if there's a few guys, especially on defense, because I keep mentioning this, there's not a lot of established players on defense right now that could get playing time, that could absolutely see playing time. And I look towards, I think, really the linebacker room, where you have Zion, you have Hector Chavez, you have Robert Lee, you have Charquez Lee, a redshirt freshman, guys who may make the two deep roster, may have an opportunity to impress. And if a guy sort of struggles in that room, wouldn't shock me if they go to a new guy in that room, because while Tyler Stolsky is sort of the established player and will likely be a starter, I think there's still a lot of question marks in that room and in their front seven in general. And so one of those three guys, right, if we're sitting here in week six, week seven, and that linebacker room is struggling, it would not shock me if they start to use some of those guys a little bit more, rotate them in, and give them a chance to play.
Mm. Who do you think is going to be the backup for Veldkamp when this season begins? Obviously, you're going to need a reliable backup in case something happens. So there's quite a few quarterbacks on FAU's roster. So who stood out the most?
I think that matchup is going to be between Kaysen Wiseman, the former Colorado transfer who's been here for 2 years, had a little bit of starting experience last year, was up and down like I think a lot of this offense was, and then an established backup in Zach Gibson, who comes from the Sun Belt, who sort of impressed, has a ton of experience. I think he's like a seventh-year senior. He's an old man. Like, just to be honest, he's an old man in college football.
Okay.
If I had to put my money on it, I think it'd be Zach Gibson. They have not exactly said who will back up the quarterback, who will back up Veldkamp. I don't think they'll ever tell you who's backing up Veldkamp. And I think it'll only be a thing where either, you know, unfortunately he gets hurt and you have to bring in a backup, or you're in a game where the games are decided and you just bring in someone else to get reps. Right now, I would say I think the staff probably feels most comfortable with Zach Gibson, just because he's an established guy. He started before. You sort of know what you're getting with him, and it's not the great unknown that you maybe don't want with the backup quarterback. And so I would say right now he's likely your backup quarterback.
Okay. So we're 20 days away at the time of recording from that week one game against Maryland. All things considered, what else do you genuinely really want to see out of this Owls team during these fall camps? What are you really looking forward to? You mentioned a lot of questions earlier, but what do you want to see genuinely that'll get you some of those answers?
I want to see what the depth chart looks like at edge rusher, because I think that's the biggest question mark. It's been an issue for FAU for, quite truthfully, probably the last 7 years. They just have not had a lot of consistent pass rush.
Wow.
And like I said, Kitley sort of mentioned that there's probably five or six, potentially seven guys competing for a spot in that room and competing for a potential starting spot. And so there is still a lot of uncertainty there, but I think there's also talent. You know, I look at guys like Deshaun Batiste, the Toledo transfer. I look at a guy like Eric Brantley, who is an established name in that room. A guy like Wilkie Denoud, who I think is a reliable pass rusher who just sort of hasn't taken that next step yet. But he's a high talent player who was at Auburn initially, transferred from Auburn, right? Like, there's talent there to be had. And so I think it's just finding which one of those guys can put it all together. But that's sort of my biggest thing that I want to get figured out immediately. I think the wide receiver room figures itself out. I think the defensive backfield figures itself out. There's enough veteran guys in that room that someone will emerge, you know, right? The fish will swim, right? Or whatever the new analogy that we want to use, the new coach being analogy we want to use there. But I think edge rusher is sort of still the biggest question mark there. Is who's going to start at edge rusher? Who's going to be your starting two? You know, you're going to rotate in that room. You're going to have probably five or six guys who rotate in just to keep everyone fresh. But you know, on third and 10 against Maryland in the first quarter and you need a stop, who's going to be out there to get you that stop? Yeah. That's really what I want to see now, because that's still the bait. Like, they still need to find a way to get pressure to the quarterback. That's been an issue for them throughout, you know, Herman's tenure and Willie Taggart's tenure. And I would really say dating back to probably Leighton McCarthy, who FAU fans will hear that name and go, wow, that's been a while. I have not felt comfortable about the pass rush at FAU. And so I still don't really feel comfortable about it, but
yeah.
I really want to see who are the top two, you know, on third and five in the first quarter against Maryland. And you want to stop to try and take this game over. Who's going to be the first ones out there? Who's going to be those top two? That's really what I want to see today.
Kitley mentioned this in the fall cast, but this is the 25th anniversary of the FAU football program. Talk about some of the ways they're going to be celebrating that this season.
Yeah, I mean, they've been going on social media a lot and posting a lot of old clips, and I really feel like an old man watching some of these, because I'm watching guys who I covered in like my first year on the beat going, oh man, great. I remember that guy. That guy was awesome. That guy was really cool. They threw out a Kareth White clip, and I went, oh my Lord. It's been a while. I miss Kareth White. He had a kick return against Old Dominion. It was like the coolest thing ever. Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a lot of about Howard Schellenberger. And it makes total sense. It's someone that Zach Kittley immediately mentioned during American, you know, the American Conference Media Days, whatever the conference is called nowadays. I don't even remember half the time. But I think it's going to be a lot about honoring him, honoring the legacy that he brought, because – like I say this all the time, the football program doesn't exist if Howard Schellenberger is not there to help it.
True.
And I'm going to say this, and this is the perfect time to say this out loud. He needs to be put in the College Football Hall of Fame. This is no longer a debate. This is no. This is a travesty that he is not in the College Football Hall of Fame. And so every single week I will be pushing that Howard Schellenberger is a College Football Hall of Famer, and it's a shame he's not in there. And every week, someone else will likely get annoyed that I keep tweeting about it. But I will keep tweeting about it until they figure this out. Yeah, man, it's been 25 years of this college football program. It's been a ride for sure. And I think that the excitement's finally coming back to Boca Raton in terms of football, because it's certainly been a while.
Well, I definitely hope they give a really good tribute to Schellenberger as the season progresses. So, Kevin, thank you so much for talking some FAU Owls. And to everyone watching, we hope you enjoyed episode 122 of the Shula Bowl Pod. The week after, we're going to get even closer to the football season starting and definitely have some more fun topics to talk about then. So we'll get into that when we can. But for everyone watching, again, thank you for watching the Shula Bowl Podcast.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.